So there is no discussion of consideration of approval of or disapproval of the RFP for non-litigation legal services. Is that correct? Shall we move on to
item number? I will make a motion.
What? Excuse me?
I said I will make a motion to approve the RFP that's been out there for two or whatever weeks now for the retention of a Title 32 consul for the district and to proceed forward with the RFP.
Do we have a second?
I will second.
So we have a motion is AP and the second is Jeff Baker. And correct. Then that's correct. And so now we move on to discussion. I would like to ask, how much is this going to cost the district? So if we have two lawyers, okay, so we have one person who charges X amount and another who charges Y. And so we will now have, for this tiny district, we will have two lawyers. So does anyone have a cost estimate? Any of the directors who passed the motion, do you have an idea of the cost estimate of what additional legal costs this is going to require of the district? Do you have any ideas?
If you recall, Director Hannigan, I was one of the directors who had raised the issue with Mr. Astuno coming to the meetings when suddenly, without the vote of the board, it was decided by means that I'm not aware of that he would be taking the minutes during the meetings at a cost of $250 an hour during the meetings. And there is also a number of instances where there were multiple lawyers working for the district. And if you recall, again, I do believe Director Morgan and myself had raised issues with the legal body budget at several meetings, but at the time that did not seem to raise any alarms with anybody. So I do not see how Title 32 person being present at the meetings while Ms. Timmons concentrates solely on the litigation would be any different.
So you don't know. So the thing is that you have no idea in terms of a spreadsheet or a cost estimate of what this would cost the district.
A spreadsheet or a cost estimate were not provided to the board when those other lawyer attendances happened. So I don't see how this is different.
Well, I think it is, but minutes. I would like to ask, minutes are, is the secretary's responsibility. Is that correct?
That's what it says in the bylaw.
The bylaws
specifically state that we can have a scribe attending the meetings, which has been always the case since before our election to the board, if you recall. And at the time we used to have Ms. Ivy who took the minutes. Later it was Ms. Sue, I apologize, saying if I'm remembering the last name correctly, who took the minutes, and that was at a significantly lower rate than when Mr. Astuno was taking them later, again, without the board's vote.
Sorry to interrupt, but the minutes, I don't want to get too far down on a minutes pathway. What I am hearing and what my impression was is the cost of another attorney would be just the difference in their rates because we are substituting one for another. We are not doubling duty. So that is what I think I heard Director Plotkin say too.
That is correct.
So there will be no doubling of duties. There is no doubling of attorneys.
Uh-huh. So anyway, but then we also have that additional cost of the scribe. So all of that stuff. So there are now, it's sort of morphed into three. At least that's the way I see it.
So are you insinuating that before this we were not charged for Ms. Singh's time?
Someone who could answer that is Ms. Timmons. So I would like to, you know more about how your office works.
You are talking about, okay, first of all, you talked about multiple lawyers, Alex. We had seven lawsuits pending. That didn't include the Green Tree lawsuit that I also handled. That would be the eighth lawsuit just in the last 2 years. We had a lot of work that needed to happen, and I'll discuss that. You brought up the withdrawal of Mr. Gessler, and I'll go over that in that next topic. But yes, so there were multiple lawyers, partly because it became very difficult for me. I needed somebody to help me handle the meetings because the meetings became very contentious. Anyway, there's no point in defending that. that's not the issue here today. I do know that you may have seen my engagement letter in the RFP when I was hired. And so I was hired as the general counsel for this district. So I'm not really sure what all is happening here. We have got some serious litigation that is still pending right now. That's not going to be over with for at least a couple of months. Actually, a critical stage for a couple of months. After that, there's still litigation pending. There cannot be a disruption or distraction at this time, which has been happening for me for 2 years with John Henderson. And so I'm telling you that the best thing right now is to focus on the most important things, which is this litigation, which is still pending. That's what should be the focus of this board, is to protect the district, protect its reserve budget, which belongs to the people out there who attend these meetings. It's their money that you're managing.
If I may respond to that, I did just mention that several of the directors expressed concerns about how the money was being spent, and we got pretty much chastised and treated in a hostile manner for that. If you recall it, I don't remember how many meetings in a row now. So I do take a point with us being lectured on how we have not been watching out for the budget.
It's not so much the budget, Alex. I'm talking about, we still have 4 cases pending that haven't been.
And if I may, Ms. Timmons, I just did specifically say that litigation would be your primary focus. Nobody's arguing with that.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that at this point, to add any disruption, you know, I'm just saying it's been very difficult for me to be fighting 10 lawyers in front of me and 2 butcher knives in my back.
Okay? I am struggling to understand.
Just a minute. Mr. Plotkin, will you please let her finish her statement? Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm just explaining to you what has been happening to me for 2 years. I was under an ethical obligation to continue the litigation once it was started, but it became very difficult and unmanageable for me because of outside lawyers who were weighing in with the board and causing a lot of disruption and distraction. So it's kind of hard to be fighting 10 people in front of you with knives in your back. Jeff, you've been in the military. That's court-martial for people to stab you in the back when you're trying to fight for the team. So I'm just telling you that this is a difficult situation that you're talking about right now.
So if I may, I mean, with all due respect, I guess I am struggling to understand here if my doing research of legal documents has been stabbing people in the back, or if my sending you emails with specific items that were potentially crucial to the litigation, if that's what you're implying by being stabbed in the back. Or if perhaps the number of my emails related to the litigation, which were ignored, or never responded to, that stabbing in the back. Furthermore, I do believe that we've now been having concerns, and as we've heard from some of the constituents, that the daily business of the district and Title 32 matters are not necessarily being attended to in a timely manner. And that's what I believe is what we're trying to address here. And actually, in some ways, to yet again help you to have even more free time to address the litigation. So I am confused and frankly feel that I'm being disrespected in any of these insinuations, and I'm tired and sick of them. And this is one of the false narratives that's been levied, that somehow some of the board directors have been trying. I mean, I'm curious. We just heard several people raise issues, you know, with the settlement or this and the other, and in any number of executive sessions where several of the directors were trying to fight to present all the possible legal options to the public, or were being shut down, or, you know, where suddenly we start seeing expenses where somebody was working on the draft IGA long before the board even had a chance to make any sort of a group decision on how we should proceed forward with the litigation. I mean, is that what we're talking about when we're talking about the knives in the back? Or was it those emails back in May of 2020 that I was sending to you, Ms. Timmons, was pointing out specific documents in the district files which might have been crucial to the litigation? Madam President, with all due respect, a number of issues have been raised against me, which are simply false or defamatory in nature. And I'm sick and tired of it. And I will not sit here and allow people just to pile on. And you're sitting there saying that, you know, fine, freedom of speech and whatnot. But falsehoods are falsehoods.
Yeah, I'm talking partly, Alex, about destroying documents, destroying public records, okay?
What documents did I destroy, Ms. Timmons? What documents did I destroy? Please provide proof.
Let her answer. Go ahead, and then you can answer.
You need to get into this now, Alex. You know what you've done.
I am not the one bringing these things up, Ms. Timmons. Here you are attacking me. I might as well be sitting across from Mr. Norton right now.
Okay.
The way you're speaking. And this is what I've been subjected to behind the scenes for over a year now.
So I give you specific things and you give me personal attacks. But anyway, I'm just pointing out that...
I am sorry. How was that a personal attack? You're accusing me of doing something on legal basis. How is this a personal attack?
Can you let her finish?
If I may politely point out for the record that Ms. Timmons is now officially attacking me. This is legal harassment and bullying, Ms. Timmons. This is what I've been subjected to behind the scenes for well over a year. This is one of the things that I've raised over and over, by the way, with you, Ms. Hennigan, and with Director Baker, and with Ms. Peters. And none of it has been sufficiently addressed. So when people talk about mediation, let's do mediation right now.
Okay, what I would like to do is, could you be more specific? And do you have the specific documents? And then
Can I finish?
I would appreciate being allowed to finish my sentence. Thank you. What I would like to do is ask you, can you give me the date of the meeting where you felt you were chastised?
Well, that's just a convenient thing, Ms. Hennigan, that, for example, right now, if we go back to some of the public comments earlier that are some of which are based on falsehoods, unfortunately, I mean, people have their right to speak, fully agree with that. But,
you know,
where's this information coming from? And by the way, did anybody, you know, I presume that by now, Mr. Baker's and my depositions have been spilled out there. And some of the insinuations that have been made just based on that alone, to me, again, I might as well be sitting across from the plaintiff's lawyers. And that's one of the things that has happened behind the scenes that, fine, let's speak about it. In individual phone calls, one-on-one phone calls, and this is what I've spoke to in several meetings in a row now, unfortunately, there is now no record. And how convenient is it that Mr. Baker and myself and Mr. Henderson's are the only ones who have gotten subjected to deposition, yet somehow here we are having these multi-hour meetings and nobody else has been subjected to deposition. And yet somebody will have the gall to say that somehow Mr. Baker and myself were not acting in the best interest of the district? Or have we forgotten that somehow, you know, some of these outreaches that you yourself, Ms. Hennigan, have done to Mr. Henderson in the past? And somehow have people forgotten who and how worked on the resolution to originally rescind the IGA? I will not sit here and be subjected to defamation and false statements and harassment.
I
apologize, Director Morgan. That's why all we're trying to do here is getting the district back to running and get a Title 32 lawyer engaged for daily business purposes. There is any number. And by the way, the falsehood statements earlier about Director Morgan going out there, Director Peters and Director Morgan were sanctioned by the board to go out during the settlement proceedings to do certain things. That was a decision of the board. So please say what you will, but I will not hear here and be subjected to this.
Thank you, Director. I have to agree with that. I have to say, I think knives in the back is a pretty personal statement and hostile and violent, too. I don't know about that one. I have not seen any of that. I don't think that questioning decisions and not agreeing with decisions, I think that's part of this process. I would like to see my working directly for, to rein all this in, I understand everything you've said here, but basically... the first duty to understand about anybody working directly for the board, and in this case, I'm afraid that is Ms. Timmons. Mr. Kropkowski could speak at length about how hard it is to work directly. You have five bosses. It's not an easy position to be in. This is that is the crux of the issue. And you need somebody who has experience there. You have somebody who can't, you need somebody who can handle all of these different personalities and knows the boundaries of how to take action. The action can only be taken by a majority board vote. That's how this board at any board operates. You can't just pick and choose which director you would like to support. You can't just pick and choose which directions you'd like to take part of. So I think that is the key point here. It's really hard for a successful take charge litigator to do. You cannot argue, you have to sit back and accept this is an advisory position. You can't keep arguing your statements. You don't need to get the last word. You have to be able to sit back and be able to accept that maybe the board as a body will take a vote that you may not agree with. But that's at the crux of what this is. And special district attorneys, any attorneys with experience here, will be able to handle that situation better. That is the specialty. That is experience that you need outside of knowing the Title 32. You have to be able to deal with all those people. So, and it's a hard job.
I'm outnumbered, so I know that you'll get one to the next and take up an hour. And I
I'm sorry that wasn't an expression or an ask for an opinion.
You get to so you said, "Oh, no knives in my back," but Karen, you made a motion not to pay me my legal fees for the work.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just made the point that this is an advisory position.
Just a minute.
I'm entitled to respond.
Is that right?
I am. Yes, I am.
This is partial of the problem.
Yeah, no.
Karen, stop.
You voted, Karen, not to pay me for the legal fees for the work I did in this litigation. That is.
I'm sorry. Let's stop. If you can respond, so can I. I did not. I specifically tried to get your board, that was not a board decision, to have that meeting.
That
was a March 30th meeting that we decided not to have. And that wasn't it.
Fees for the month of March.
Well, that's because we never got to the rest of
March. You know what, Karen? You're going to talk about the March 30th meeting?
Stop. I don't understand why we can't do this. You can interrupt, and I can stop.
Here's the final thing. This RFP, I saw it today for the first time. Now, Alex says it's been out there. The board packet didn't come out until minutes before this meeting started. The public has not seen it. Rhonda came up with a proposal that every single public body does. Every single public body I am familiar with has a first reading and a second reading, and they bring the document to the meeting and discuss it. For you to vote on this tonight would be inappropriate in my view. You have not satisfied the requirements of letting the public know the discussion and what it is that you're proposing. That's why Rhonda's proposal is a good one. I understand other members of the public have proposed that. You people have not been doing that for months and months. You've been violating the Open Meetings Act. And this decision tonight could very likely be void because you are on the verge of violating the Open Meetings Act. So
let her finish, please. Yes. Okay.
If anybody recalls the public comment earlier, Ms. Romero said she saw it, and I'm curious, where did she get it from? I do believe, Mr. Dropkowski, if you may indicate how long has this been posted on the website per legal counsel's advice?
Mm-hmm. After the May 11th meeting, the board directed it be posted on the website, and that's when it went up.
Thank you.
Greg, when did the board packet get posted?
The board packet was posted yesterday.
Well, irrelevant to the conversation.
Karen, would you please
stop interrupting?
You are making irrelevant points. These no. are not advising. You are making policy as we go. There is no policy that says we have to have a board packet that has all of this out there. This is your policy. This is not the board's policy. This is the problem. This is not the law. Do you know how many special districts don't have board packets? They have other promotions. You did not get hired with an RFP.
Karen, will you respect the chair? Please.
I don't know if I can, because we're letting these irrelevant arguments spin out.
So you need to stop.
There is nothing wrong with the way we have done this.
Karen,
the RFP
please
was noticed
stop.
Under open meetings.
Karen, stop.
In a public meeting.
Stop.
Was it April 27th?
Stop.
So
please.
There's been notice.
Please stop.
Adrian, if I may.
Listen. You know, just a minute. Who is running the meeting? Are you running the meeting? Mr. Baker, are you running the meeting? Are you running the meeting, Karen? Will you please allow me to run the meeting? Thank you. Okay, so if we can...
Madam Chair, if I may?
Please, go ahead. Thank you.
I also would like to point out that there has been a number of instances where the board has said if there is a motion that needs to be made for a specific action and direction to the council, we were told that's not the case. And I do recall requesting that the council reviews the RFP and reviews the agreement with the CCG. And at some point, specifically to the CCG, when I reached out to Ms. Timmons and Mr. Kropkowski and said, has the agreement for CCG been reviewed? It seemed to me that somehow that was not the case, but I guess then the email had to be resent or something to that case for Ms. Timmons to be reviewed. So what I'm trying to say here is there's been a number of instances where we just simply would make a direction and we were told over and over and over that is sufficient for the council to take action. So I do recall there has been a request that was made to review this RFP by the council, and I did not see any specific response to that request. So I don't think it is fair to say that this is the first time this has somehow been broached or shown or not shown or anything of that matter. Thank you.
I wanted to ask, someone has put up something. There are material defects in the RFP. I not knowing what that is. Do you know what a material defect is, Joe?
Well, I mean, there's issues with it. That's the whole point of having discussion about a document,
yes,
rather than coming to a meeting and making a motion to vote on a... That's what happened with the last IGA. That's how it went down, okay? It just got voted on. No discussion. Nobody looked at the content. I went on, Greg, today, I did not see a board packet. It came on there minutes before this meeting. But I guess there's no way for us to verify that. But I'm pointing out...
I'll just chime in really quick, Jill. We did have the board packet up last night. I just want to make sure from a technical standpoint that we did do it as soon as... It was made available to us. So I just want to clarify that if people had issues with that, you know, we can address that.
Mm-hmm. And again, to Mr. Kropkowski's point, the board specifically agreed for the RFP to be on the website to be reviewed by, well, basically the whole world, I would presume, because anybody can get to the website. So I find it disingenuous to be told that somehow this was hidden or not shown to anybody. And again, I do recall there was a request being made to council to review the RFP. So I don't understand why we're hearing about this just now, yet again.
So Rhonda, is this would this comport with the proposed procedure that you have proposed for dealing with documents? Would this comport with that procedure?
When was the RFP posted on the website first?
May 11th, not May 12th or 13th, Rhonda.
Okay, so it was discussed at the last meeting and it was posted on May 12th or 13th, and it's May 25th now. So it's been up there since May 12th or 13th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sam and Jesse could maybe give you a time date stamp as to when it went out, but that was the direction of the board coming out of May 11th. It was also a directive to send at that time the council You know, the April 20th and 27th meeting, legal counsel in attendance was Scott Gessler. And so wanting an RFP to kind of look at for legal purposes, it was sent soon after the April 27th meeting, just to legal counsel. And it was, you know, the thought would be that I would get comments. Really, essentially, it's just the last RFP the board did in the spring of, you know, January, February, March of 2019, which was which was used to obtain the services of Dizelle Timmons. That's all it is. To make it, and again, I'm willing to take directives from legal counsel. I did my best to take off any indication that this legal firm or whoever would care to respond to an RFP. There's no telling anybody will respond to an RFP. To remove any vestiges that they would be involved in anything litigious. But Scott wrote back and said it looked good. I've got that email. So that's all I have. And so after May 11th, when the board said, hey, this should go on the website for the public to consider, that's what it did. It went on the website then. And so it was on the agenda for today. Remember, that was part of the meeting last month, as I remember it, was the board said, let's try mediation. And if mediation doesn't work, then we'll come back on May 25th. And we'll consider posting an RFP. That's all. So it'd be great not to have a meeting tonight. But with one reason for a lateness of posting of the board packet was just a desire to see if any kind of mediation could take place. You remember, you and I were talking about it late Friday afternoon. And I thought, you know, since I don't keep regular working hours, I was open to hear if board members wanted to do litigation this week, if they reached me on Saturday or Sunday last week. So when it appeared that that wasn't going to happen and we had a statutory requirement to post no later than 24 hours, we had to post something by Monday. And that's what we did.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Krupkowski. Is there anything else you would like to add? What I found is that I looked for the board packet in the app, not the board packet, but I looked for the agenda yesterday afternoon. And then I noticed that it was there at 6 p.m. And at that time, at 6 p.m., I did not see a board packet at all. So I was looking for one. And then I went online to look, you know, on my Green Mountain Water website, on the Green Mountain Water server on Outlook. And I found no board packet whatsoever. And I have no idea when the board packet was posted, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 p.m. or something like that.
Jesse, when was it posted? When did you guys?
I'll pull up the time right now. There's a timestamp on it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
But just really, Rhonda, I just wanted to clarify about the procedure that you were proposing, because I thought what you said was there would be two readings of the same document.
Yes.
So if it's going to be a document voted on, it would be presented at two meetings. The first one would be the first reading. And so this, that's why I mentioned this, because this particular document was not presented in a previous meeting. So this was the first meeting. Now, you know, and that's why that way, see, the public is not allowed to comment right now because it's been shut out. As you know, there's been a vote to not allow.
Okay.
The public will not be able to comment on this document.
It was on the agenda.
Excuse me, Karen.
And she finished.
We are getting,
Karen, let her finish.
Astray.
Karen, no, stop. You are not the board president. Stop.
I am not. I'm going to call the question because
you need to stop talking. Karen, you need to stop talking now.
I'm calling the question.
You are going to stop talking.
So
now,
as board president, you can't honor that.
Could you just clarify? I thought the procedure was that there would be, and the whole point of having the two readings is that you bring the document once, there's discussion around it. the next time you bring it, the public has already heard all your discussion. They can make meaningful comments about it at the next meeting, and that would be the second reading. That's what I thought was your proposal.
Yeah, that's the procedure. So I guess the May 11th date, did we have any meetings? I just have to look
at
We had
a meeting, but this particular RFP has not been presented.
If I may politely object here, because A, we're discussing a whole procedure that hasn't been voted on.
It hasn't
B,
been
voted
we're on.
Discussing a whole item that's not even on the agenda, and here we are going in circles
that's
again.
That's right. I appreciate that. Thank you, Director Plotkin. This is off the agenda. This hasn't been voted on, and I think I just said, and somebody told me to shut up, that this is making procedure as we go. All of this is procedural questions designed to obstruct a board vote.
So
are we talking about the motion on the table or not? We can get back to modifying the bylaws procedure later. But the motion on the table, which I have called, and if we are following it, which I know we don't, but if we were following any kind of procedures, I've called the question. If there's anything else to discuss, I mean, nothing's come up besides these outside procedural points, which have already been covered. The motion was to pass. Look at the RFP. Was that the motion?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Director Baker, you're the only one who has not commented on this yet, except to second it. Perhaps you have something to say.
No, I just, there was a motion on the floor to move forward with the RFP. There was a second.
Okay.
Then we went into discussion. Then we went off the rails in a couple of different directions. And then you did a call to question. So, Robert's rules.
I am not sure that we are ready. We're ready to pass it. We have to set a deadline for the RFP to end. Is that in the RFP? Is there a deadline?
I would be completely amicable to that, Madam President. We can just
When? Because if it's not in there, I don't know. You have to have an expiration date, right? Does the document need to be modified to have an end date? Normally we would do 30 days? The long-standing tradition for the district is 60 days.
If
it's not in there, can I finish? So the tradition.